Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When speaking about getting into college, the process is often referred to as the admissions game. Only for many people, it's a game whose rules aren't made explicitly known. When it comes to building a freshman class, what do colleges take into consideration? Is it classroom ability? And speaking of ability, what about your ability to pay the full cost of tuition? And what if you're a woman, a group that is apparently now overrepresented on college campuses? I have two guests with me now to sort through some of this. Lloyd Thacker is the director of the Education Conservancy and Education Advocacy Group. He's also the editor of College Unranked, Ending the College Admissions Frenzy, which was published by the Harvard University Press in 2005. And Jennifer Delahunt, the Dean of Admissions and Financial Aid at Kenyon College in Ohio. She wrote a very well-read op-ed piece a few years ago about all the girls she rejected from Kenyon. Jennifer and Lloyd, welcome to WNYC. Hi there.
Thank you. Hi. Good morning.
Let me ask the money first, because I've spoken to some parents who just went through this year, and their kids are either going off to college in the fall or they're going into senior year, and you know, and they go to these lists of colleges with so-called needs-blind admissions policies, and they wonder, well, needs-blind sounds great for those it helps, but if a college doesn't identify itself as needs-blind, does that mean that a student's ability to pay is one of the factors that the school considers when deciding which students to admit? Lloyd, do you know? I mean, Lloyd?
Well, the reality is that with the holistic review of applications, the financial position of the student is often known, and it's tough to disregard for colleges attempting to either increase diversity or increase their revenue. So it can have an impact, it cannot have an impact.
Jennifer Delahunty, do you have needs-blind admissions at Kenyon?
No, we don't. We're a lightly endowed college. We're not like the billion-dollar colleges. But for 90% of our applicants, the ability to pay is not taken into consideration. And I would say that represents the kinds of principles and practices that are generally held at private liberal arts colleges.
Does that mean that for 10% of your applicants, you actually look at how much wealth their families have because you need a certain percentage of students who can pay the full tuition?
Well, financial aid is a limited resource that colleges have, and they have only so much of it. So at the very end of the admissions, throughout the first phase of the admissions process, need is not a consideration at all. But when you get to the final polishing of the class, looking at who you are admitting, you do have to look at ability to pay. And this is not one of the principles that admissions folks feel particularly proud of, but it is a stark reality. There's so much anxiety today about price that this discussion is just going to add to that, I'm afraid.
Yeah. And Lloyd, I wonder, since you have edited College Unranked, Ending the College Admissions Frenzy, and you advise parents in this regard, is there some advice that parents can take from the discussion that you've had so far? I mean, if you have two applicants who are essentially equal in terms of grades and test scores and recommendations, and one clearly has the means to pay while the other clearly will need aid, sometimes the one with the means to pay is going to be better off. Can you give advice to those without the means to necessarily pay the whole tuition? Are there certain schools? Are there certain admissions application strategies if you're in that latter category?
I try to advise parents to take advantage of the things that they can control, and to disregard those things that they don't have control over. You know, you could hurt your chance, you could help your chance, but more importantly, you could minimize the role of chance and serve your long-term educational interests by being honest and believing in yourself. know, it's very important to think about this as an educational process and to realize that college admission deans, and Jennifer is a prime example, are well-intentioned, very capable professionals trying to balance their interest in serving student needs with their obligation to serve competing institutional interests. And the more selective or popular the college, the more political the process becomes. And the message here for students and parents is to never place something as important as your heart in the hands of an admission dean who's trying to manage and please many competing interests. So never let an admission dean tell you what you're worth. Only you have the power to do that. At selective colleges, the highly selective colleges, admission decisions say more about the shifting needs of an institution than they do about the qualities of the students they exclude. So I try to encourage them not to mess with the unknown and to focus on those things that they can control, and that's the attitudes and the behavior of students and their relationship with learning.
Jennifer, do you want to add to
that? Yeah, I did want to add to that. I just wanted to say that every institution has a kind of social contract with students in which we want to serve their interests well. And economic diversity is a deeply held value of every college and university in this country. So, you know, trying to game the system by not applying for financial aid is not necessarily the right thing to do. The right thing to do is what Lloyd said, is to be direct, be honest, be who you are, and the schools and the college choice will take care of itself.
Parents, students, former students, we want to hear from you on this. Maybe you have some questions for our two guests who are good enough to come on and discuss this thicket with us. And if you want to get in, our phone number is 646-778-3729. You could talk about your experiences. You could ask for advice. 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So Lloyd, if you know your financial situation, but you also know your heart, as you say, parents of soon-to-be college applicants encounter books, articles, and seminars all the time, maybe yours included, I don't know, advising them of steps to take to maximize their eligibility for financial aid. And sometimes they encourage them to plead their case early with financial aid officers. But based on what you said before, could parents who do this actually be hurting their kids' chances of admission by admitting right up front that they don't have as much money as some of the other applicants?
I don't think that that's worth worrying about in the long run. What's worth worrying about is a particular student's relationship with learning, their interest in going to college, what kind of college they think they will do their best at, where can they make education happen, because education isn't something that's done to them. And there are lots of schools that will satisfy those criteria. There are too many unknowns and too much false information out there to be wrestling with about the financial aid thing. There is a financial aid process. It is not perfect, but it works well. The deans and of admission and financial aid people are there to help and to encourage students. Now, don't try to game this system. It can only hurt a student's confidence, curiosity, imagination, and connection to learning.
Rich in Long Beach, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Good. I just had it's a very obvious question. I have a 13-year-old son going into 8th grade, an 11-year-old daughter going into 6th grade, and they're both in honors. And I'm just wondering, what really matters to colleges? I mean, obviously, grades and SAT scores, but, like, how important are extracurricular activities and things like that? What kind of extracurricular activities? I'm just wondering, you know, what I should be saying. Hey, because my son's in sports and my daughter is, and they're in things like Odyssey of the Mind and stuff like that, but I'm just wondering, how much does that really weigh?
Jennifer Delahunty, Dean of Admissions at Kenyon College, where would you start with Rich and his kids at their tender ages?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Rich, first of all, let them be children. Let them be themselves.
I do. I don't stress them out about that, you know.
Yeah, really. I mean, this is not, their lives are not a prelude for college admission.
Right.
They should follow their curiosity, their intellectual interests, their extracurricular interests, and you just live full lives and be authentic and don't try to posture themselves and be some packaged kind of person for the college admission. We're looking for really interesting community members, and those really interesting community members are good and interesting high school students. And I know this sounds a bit altruistic and maybe Pollyanna-ish, but that is the best. Those are the best applicants, those kids whose parents encourage them to be their full selves, not as a prelude for college.
Okay.
Rich, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Here's Lauren in Richfield. You're on Richfield, Connecticut. You're on WNYC. Hi, Lauren.
Hey, thanks, Brian. I have two questions. One is that my son is applying early decision to a school much like Kenyon College, small liberal arts school, and it has its own application, and it also accepts a Common App. And I wanted Jennifer's opinion. What does the school really want to see for a kid who's applying early decision, someone who filled out their own application or someone who's just filling out the Common App?
If a college offers both, they're equally okay. We are bound as Common Application members to view them both identically, so it doesn't really matter. Fill out whichever one he wants.
Okay. The tangential question is, the school, on its own application, has a tiny box, and it says, do you plan to apply for aid? Now, is that aid that the college offers, or are they asking me if I'm going to go out and get some loans from a federal program? What's behind that question?
They want to know if you're a candidate for financial aid, either external dollars or external dollars. And they ask that question so they can notify you of deadlines and let you know of any missing forms. So, you know, check it honestly if you are going to apply for need-based financial aid. If you're not applying for need-based aid, then leave it blank.
But
and
then if you get to that, if
the financial loans from the federal government,
aid is considered includes the subsidized loans from the federal government.
Yes, you'll need to complete the free application for federal student aid to qualify for a Stafford loan. So yes, you'll need to check that, and then you'll need to complete those forms.
Okay, so even if you're going to get $3,000 or $5,000 out of a $50,000 tuition, you need to check that box.
Exactly, yes, and you need to complete the FAFSA in order to do that.
So what happens, Lauren, thank you, when you get to that last 5 to 10% of your admissions and maybe Lauren's kid is in there and you see that we'll need financial aid or we'll apply for financial aid box, is there a risk in that?
A risk of what?
You said that when you look at the last 5 to 10% of your applicants, you may have to take financial ability to pay into account. So I'm just saying.
But you'll take lots of other things into account, too. You'll take into account whether you need students from Massachusetts, whether mm-hmm. you need students who play the bassoon. There's so many other factors. It is never the one single mm-hmm. determining factor that
right.
a student does or does not get admitted. It's part of the word Lloyd used is holistic. It's part of the whole picture of a student. So, you know, once again, I just want to emphasize, the second largest item in a college budget is financial aid. We want to use every dollar we have available. So families should not hang back and not apply because they fear it will jeopardize their chances for admission. You know, it's a very minor factor for a small percentage of students, and it's a little bit overblown as a factor in terms of the final decision.
And can I just add that
sure.
gaming the system can, in fact, jeopardize desired admission outcomes.
If you get caught.
Well, true, but admission deans can sniff people who are not authentic, and they can detect them. But more importantly than jeopardizing desired admission outcomes, what I wanted to say is that it also jeopardizes the confidence, curiosity, imagination, and resourcefulness of students. I call those qualities studenthood, and those qualities make good education happen in all kinds of places, and they make for successful individuals after college. We're doing a disservice to our kids by telling them that gaining admissions to college is about gaming the system.
By the way,
another
one of our callers wants to know, if you don't check that financial aid box, can you still apply for it later? Lloyd, do you know?
Can you still apply for aid later? Certainly.
Jeff in Hackensack. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Brian. Always love your show.
Thank you.
Curious. I was with the downturn in the overall economy, does that have any significant impact on the behind-the-scenes admission process, enrollment, et cetera?
Lloyd, what do you think? This downturn in the economy, is it affecting...
I wonder if
it's affecting the number of applicants, if people feel that they have less ability to pay and are applying to college at a lower rate, or if it's too early to tell.
I'd say it's too early to tell.
And history has shown that when there's a downturn in the economy, higher education remains one of the best investments you can make because it's a long-term investment in your child's future. So it doesn't necessarily mean a downturn in applications at all. What it does mean, the caller is asking about the back office operations. We're going to see a lot of families who are going to qualify for more aid than they would have in the past, and colleges are preparing to serve them. And so,
wouldn't the downturn affect the colleges too? So maybe, they're going to have to dip more into their endowments if they have endowments, or their alumni are going to be giving less this year, and there might be less financial aid to give out.
Well, it's a budgeted line item for this next year. I doubt that anybody is cutting back on their aid budget right now unless they're having really serious problems at their institution. Mm-hmm. In fact, with the no loan movement that went through, that rippled across the nation last year, you saw millions of dollars being added to aid budgets.
My guest on WNYC, Lloyd Thacker, director of the Education Conservancy and Education Advocacy Group, and editor of College Unranked, Ending the Admissions Frenzy, and Jennifer Delahunty, Dean of Admissions and Financial Aid at Kenyon College in Ohio, and our phone number 646-778-3729. Jennifer, one of the impetuses for this segment was the story of someone we know who went through the process, who was a college senior in New York, and actually got told, she says, by one admissions officer in an interview, flat out, your problem is you're a white girl from New York City. And that her guidance counselor, when told of that remark, said that similar forces are currently working against any Asian kid from New York City. And, we're talking here about students at very competitive schools bent on admission to highly selective colleges. But then we started poking around, and that's when we became aware of your op-ed from a few years ago, To All the Girls I've Rejected. And I'm sure you're sick of talking about it by now, because obviously, as we discovered, it got a whole lot of press and comments and everything back in 2006. But you wrote, "The elephant that looms large in the middle of the room is the importance of gender balance. Should it trump the qualifications of talented young female applicants?" But to revisit it a little bit, I guess the answer for Kenyon College, and probably for most colleges at this point, is yes, gender balance in a time when there are fewer male applicants should trump the qualifications of at least some talented young females, correct? Jennifer? Well, we have lost both our guests for the moment. It's a technical glitch that we will have to repair, and we will, and we'll continue in 60 seconds. Okay, you ready for the technical glitch 60-second repair drill? Go. On WNYC, and we have Lloyd Thacker and Jennifer Delahunty back with us now. Sorry for disconnecting you guys. And Jennifer, I don't know how much of it you heard, but I was giving the whole natural history of your op-ed in 2006 and all the reaction to it. So the short version of, does Kenyon and do most colleges at this point choose gender balance over just simply the most qualified applicants because too many of them are going to turn out to be female?
Well, diversity in all of its ramifications is important to colleges, and gender balance is one of those things that colleges have to take into account. With 58% of all undergraduates in this country being girls, it is a supply and demand issue.
So what do you say to the angry parent of a girl with a 95 average, and I don't want to oversimplify what qualifications are, but let's say with a 95 average, who got rejected in favor of the boy with the 90 average?
Well, it's I would say I apologize for the demographic realities that we have out there right now. And it was that the sole factor she was not admitted? No. Once again, I'm back to that. You're applying with thousands of other students, and you can't really know who it is that you're applying against or with. And college admissions deans make up classes as you might make a mosaic by carefully choosing each piece, especially at colleges that have an abundance of applications. So gender is never the sole factor, just as need, as financial need is never the sole factor. It does put an extra pressure on girls to be really high performers, but it's a gross generalization to say that slacker boys are getting in and high performing girls are not.
Lloyd, where have all the boys gone?
That's a good question. And there are many answers to that question. It seems that we're not doing a good job of getting kids in the educational pipeline at an early age. Some are opting for the military. Man, there's a little bit of competition there. Some are pursuing other activities before going to college. So there's no one simple answer. But I wanted a chance to respond to your hypothetical student who didn't get into Kenyon and was heartbroken. The reality is she was qualified to go there, and she's qualified to go to many other good colleges. And there's no such thing as the one perfect college. You know, don't let an admission dean tell you what you're worth. I mean, Jennifer doesn't do that. She doesn't claim to do that. That's the parents and the students' responsibility to believe in the kid and go where you're wanted and go with confidence and go with a connection to learning that's going to serve you the rest of your life. These are the things that parents and families can control. They can't control what goes on inside of an admissions office, and they shouldn't make it out to be so important.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me throw one of your own questions, Jennifer, back at you, and see what you would tell the parents here. Because in your very thoughtful op-ed, you wrote and you asked, "What messages are we sending young women that they must, nearly 25 years after the defeat of the Equal Rights Amendment, be even more accomplished than men to gain admission to the nation's top colleges?"
We are sending the message that there's something not fair, that gender politics are still alive and well in America, that young women still have to perform at the top of their game. And, you know, I think that I'm just as worried about what's going on with both genders. I mean, we've got a serious problem with male participation in higher education, and we've got so much anxiety residing on the backs of young, talented girls that it's a difficult situation, and I think that we should be addressing it more deliberately at the K-12 stage, because that's where it's happening.
So one commenter on our webpage writes, "Don't listen to these people. Game the system. Lie about your extracurriculars and pad your application until can't hold any more BS. That's how I got into NYU. My brother tried the honest way and was deferred from Columbia."
I wonder what this guy's doing in life and what messages he's sending his kids and what kind of a citizens they will be.
It had an Enron email address. No, I'm kidding.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. We've lost touch with what makes education special and what makes education work. And we need to, as a country, think about education.
Jean in Sparta, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jean.
Hi. I have an interesting situation. I have a boy and a girl. They're both 17 and graduating from high school and are going to graduate from high school next year. So we're going through all the college searches now. And it's very reminiscent of when we went through the school search, because we put them through independent school. And in that process, I noticed that there was a little box on every application that wanted to know whether or not you wanted to apply for financial aid at every single school. And we looked at 30 different schools. And when I asked, there was only one school that didn't have that box. And when I asked them what they do, is there some reason that you don't want to know? Because they all claim to be knee blind. They said to me that the they didn't think that admissions committees could truly be knee blind, that people were human, and if they saw a box like that, that there would be a natural inclination to favor students that didn't have financial aid. And when I inquired in another school, why do you want to know if you're knee blind? Because they all claim to be knee blind. They said, oh, we just want to inform you of deadlines and everything like that. So next time I was at the school, I said, well, how do you inform people of deadlines? And they said, well, everything's done through email anyway, so it doesn't cost us anything. So we just inform people of all the deadlines through email. So everybody gets the information, whether they need financial aid or not. And it just reminds people when to turn in their FAFSA form.
Jean, before we get an answer for you, your twins, are they getting twin grades?
That's interesting. They both have almost identical grade point averages. My daughter is a recruited athlete, and my son is not.
Right. So they're not exactly the same. So we can't make you the social experiment of one family to measure the boy applications against the girl applications. But, Lloyd, what about her central question about the financial aid?
Well, again, I am not of the opinion that we should manage where kids apply to college based on whether they can gain the financial aid system. I think people should be honest and upfront. And if a college is going to be going to discount them for being honest, then they should go to a place that won't. It's pretty simple.
We're just about out of time, but Lloyd, I want to let you get one of your ideas on the table here before we go, because I think it's really important, and that is that sometimes families looking at colleges look at too few colleges, and there are a lot that are not as well known and not as immediately prestigious that families should take into consideration, correct?
Absolutely. The commercialization of college admissions has created a crisis by undermining educational values. It has distorted the way education is perceived and pursued among parents, students, families, and even colleges themselves. It has made selectivity, prestige, and wealth become proxies for quality education, and has encouraged parents and students to become consumers and education to become a product.
So how do you find those less well-known great schools?
Oh, there are lots of ways to do that. Talk with your friends, parents. There are many successful friends of yours who went to schools that are not in the top 10 list. Maybe you even did. Are you better as a result of it? Would you have had a similarly rewarding and enjoyable experience if you had gone to another school? And the answer is yes. There are college counselors in the high schools that will help you. There are guidebooks out there, and students and parents can do this themselves. The more they do it themselves, the more successful the students are going to be in this process.
Lloyd Thacker, director of the Education Conservancy and editor of College Unranked, Ending the College Admissions Frenzy. Jennifer Delahunty, dean of admissions and financial aid at Kenyon College in Ohio. And you both know whenever we talk about anything like this, the phones and the website go crazy. There are so many parents who are anxious, who are nervous, who care about their kids, who are confused and scared. And so I think you've helped a lot of people today. Thank you very much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Thank you.